question, the most insidious virus in the midst of this illegal downloading of music is piracy on the net.
Can you do that?
And trends say it's going to promise to get much, much worse.
Download.
Everything. It's easy, it's exciting, and it's free.
Download.
I'm a Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow kind of girl, you know what I mean?
No request is too extreme.
Selling out to advertisers. What you get is what you see. And you won't see me in the advertising.
See, I like to party, not drink Bacardi. Cause I'm not looking to go up for nobody. No, from a spiel, hoping it wouldn't feel. This is like having a delicious meal.
And we're moving the crowd, well, that's a must. I got some words that apply to us. And that's mesmerizing, tantalizing, captivate a full bubble button. If you wanna know the real deal about the free, well, let me tell you what triple trouble, y'all.
All they have to do is to buy each album and make a track out of it. Instead of having the White Album or Abbey Road, we make an album by having to fit it into some kind of format and make it, put it on tape, track by track, you know? And it's far better music, and that's why it caused trouble. Because otherwise the music is just the same, only on separate albums.
Now, if you'll just settle back on the couch, we'll proceed.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. when I step up in the place, say yo, I step correct. Got you all in check. I got that head nod shit that make you wear your neck. You all in check. Then you know we come through to wreck the discotheque. I got you all in check. Throw your hands up in the air, don't ever disrespect. I got you all in check.
You big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
In a room not like the room you're in, using their heads and a sense of where music connects and disconnects, pro-tooled up laptop artists make their contribution to the way music is splitting up into a billion different available bits of sound and feeling.
Crazy.
Fragmenting into the dust of eternity.
I'm crazy.
Spiraling into infinity.
I'm crazy.
Crazy swiftly tamed, turned into a commercial promotional add-on.
I'm crazy.
But for a while, the mating of one song with entirely another, for reasons of sound, seriousness and silliness, creates the true sound of the 21st century. Pop has been everything for 50 years.
I'm crazy. I'm crazy.
And now it can be all this, mixed up to loops of near reality.
I've been trained to bust when a stranger busts, try to endanger us. Praise me, y'all. Don't nothing faze me, y'all. When they see me, they gaze me, y'all. Crazy, y'all. They say I'm a myth. Trust me, if somebody rips out of the depths of your imaginations, appears Will Smith. Better act right, play nice, and sing along. Cause K is back in the hype. What? Bring it on!
The best progressive disc jockeys would experiment.
Mr. Kent thought Ray's hobby of collecting unusual noises would make a good feature story. I agree.
Sit down, I'll play you some of the things that I've got. I keep all my sounds cataloged in here. Now this first one is one of my favorites.
Tonight we are slaves to no one, except the rhythm.
But quietly or loudly, homeless in the home. It's from the home, which is nowhere in sight unless it's your own, that the art of the bootleg mix appears, whereby anonymous raiders of the 20th century, or bastards, armed with a decent hard drive, a lust for life, a love of music that borders on the diseased, and a warped sense of humour, mash up tracks taken off the internet, twist genres across themselves, and rewrite musical history in a way musicians would never think of. Access on the internet to a cappella vocals and instrumental backing tracks means that homebodies, who are all in the mind, can ignore legalities and logic and all manner of niceties and splice together any music that takes their fancy. Destiny's Child's horny bootalicious is masked in with Nirvana's holy Smells Like Teen Spirit to create Smells Like Booty. Right here and now, we're attempting to cram select slices of the last 100 years into an hour, raiding the 20th century, just because we can, and because something I said 20 years ago sparked an idea in Strictly Kev's head.
got him.
At around 8:30 p.m. Baghdad time, Saddam Hussein killed every Iraqi citizen. Our servicemen and women, the secret police, and our coalition allies, and swiftly in the heart of the Middle East. The operation was carried out with skill and precision.
You know, it doesn't carry on in a logical order, and then you come back in where you started.
What we're gonna do right here is go back.
I think we ought to learn just what this is all about.
I'll explain everything right from the beginning. Then it'll all be very clear.
Way back, back into time.
What a view, huh? We got a good one today.
Yeah, nice.
Helen, you have your cassettes or CDs?
Yeah,
or?
I have CDs.
Great.
Should I assume people know I'm sitting in a room, or shouldn't I?
No.
I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice.
Alvin Lucia's I Am Sitting in a Room is an electroacoustic classic. I think it's a clue to the fact it exists, that it can be described as such, and also as a looping classic, as a minimalist classic. It is a cornerstone in the world of resonant frequencies, and I have seen it in numerous lists of important, influential music. Hopefully, by mentioning electroacoustic, resonant frequencies, minimalism and looping, you're beginning to see more of the decoration in the room that Lucia is sitting in. Listening to I Am Sitting in a Room, as I remember I once did, somewhere, somehow, in some way, made me think of the very beginning of time, even the time before time, if that was time. It made me think of a place where there was no space and no place for space. It slipped me back in time to when there was no time. As the sound of the piece developed, I drifted into the musical patterns that were forming as sound collapsed and reformed, and thought of how this musical story began at the absolute beginning of everything, when there was nothing but a beginning.
The story began in the 1940s with the invention of magnetic tape. The new possibilities offered by tape recording were soon being eagerly exploited by avant-garde composers, notably the Musique Concrète school in France.
Paris, deserts. Like much of the new music of the time, it is totally tuneless. Paris dislikes the term music, preferring organised sound. The piece includes a number of tape sounds meant to be played back during the performance. The tape segments include factory noises recorded in sawmills in Philadelphia. This, in techno terms, is the first sample. Avant-garde exploitation of sound before the existence of the youth movement in music.
Now, these experiments started not on tape recorders, but on paper. In 1959, Brian Gysin applied the montage technique to words on a page. When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events, suggesting that perhaps when you cut into the present, the future leaks out. The next step was cut-ups on the tape recorder. Now, the first tape recorder cut-ups were a simple extension of cut-ups on paper. You record, say, 10 minutes on the recorder. Then you spin the reel backwards or forwards, just like that, without regret. Stop at random and cut in a phrase.
Our time is a time for crossing barriers, for erasing old categories, for groping around. When two seemingly disparate elements are imaginatively posed, put in apposition in new and unique ways, startling discoveries often result.
In the grooves of this record is the sound of John Cage.
Medium of our time, electric art circuitry, profoundly involves men with one another. Information pours information instantaneously and information as soon as information.
During the 1960s, the work of electronic composers like Milton Babbitt was treated with great seriousness by the musical establishment.
Why is it that the kind of words one associates all too frequently with electronic music are words like bloop and bleep, aren't they?
More help in locating the sitting room that was the private space of Alvin Lucia will come from moving into the area occupied by Steve Reich's 1965 It's Gonna Rain. One Sunday afternoon, Reich, who had been experimenting extensively with tape loops since 1963, recorded Brother Walter, a black Pentecostal preacher who was speaking his thoughts on what would happen at the end of the world. Walter's voice was highly musical, and his sermon was almost chanted or sung. Reich made two loops of the same material. By accident, because of small motor variations in the speed of the two tape recorders, Reich discovered what happens when two identical tape loops gradually fall out of sync from each other. In the first part of It's Gonna Rain, he looped the two recordings of the voice together, moved them out of phase with each other, slipped them back in unison again. In the second part, he used loops of a longer length. Thus what starts out as a two-voice sound becomes four voices, with one pair out of phase with another pair. Finally, it breaks into eight parts. And the effect is, as Reich described, a kind of controlled chaos, which may be appropriate to the subject matter, the end of the world.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, play several tracks at once.
Why don't we use plastic things?
Of course, when you cut in that phrase, you've wiped out what's ever there, and you have a new juxtaposition.
Good bread.
Because I was making,
$2.71
an hour.
Now, how random is random? We know so much that we don't consciously know that we know that perhaps the cut-in was not random.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
I did it. I'm sitting in a room in 1969.
The first piece I made that I felt had something to do with that was called I'm Sitting in a Room, where I recycled speech, recorded speech in a room, and then played it back into the room, and made a recording of that and played it back into the room. Pretty soon the room acoustics, that's all you're going to hear at the end of the piece. So it's really the space in the room that makes the sound.
So it was that the Radiophonic Workshop officially came into being on April 1st, 1958. Located in cramped quarters within the vast BBC building at Maida Vale.
We had this commission to do Major Bloodknot's Stomach. And it was a loud explosion and fairly bodily function noises.
The musicians of the Radiophonic Workshop somehow produced sounds that, for a generation of British television viewers, symbolised the future.
Talk out. Now, here are some tapes made with all the technical facilities of the BBC in London, and they show, I think, what can be done within one phrase.
And the number nine was an engineer's voice. You know, they have test tapes, and her voice was saying, "This is number nine megacycles." He was talking like that, and I just liked the way he said number nine. When I was mixing the record, I just had a radio in the room that was tuned to some BBC channel all the time, and we did about, I don't know, half a dozen mixes, and I just used whatever was coming through at the time. I never knew it was King Lear till years later somebody told me, because I could hardly make out what he was saying. It was interesting to mix the whole thing with a live radio coming through it.
How much of Revolution Number Nine was accidental?
Well, it's like an action painting. I had a lot of loops, tape loops, which is just a circle of tape. People don't understand it, it repeats itself over and over. Had about 10 of them on different mono machines, all spinning at once with pencils and things on them. I had a basic track, which was the end of the Revolution song, and I just played it sort of live into another tape and just brought them in on faders, like you do as a DJ, and brought them in like that, and it was accidental in that way. I think I did it twice, maybe, and the second one was the take.
Right. Pass was very good. Thank you, John. Turn back the tape, please, Richard.
There's several days' work on that tape. For perhaps the 100th time, the engineer runs it back to the start for yet another stage in the making of an almost certain hit record.
All over here.
Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time?
He's Mr. Know-It-All.
Did you ever see starlight come rushing from the sky?
The storm ain't big enough for the both of us.
My name's Kenny Everett.
Hello?
Kenny Everett. And this record you're hearing is an advertisement for Wireless Workshop. Conveniently situated next to the bedroom in my flat, it is a complete and sophisticated radio production studio capable of making jingles.
Oh, by the way, we do sound effects as well.
Hey, bub.
Yes?
To which station are you tuned to?
I'm tuned to Capital.
Really?
They're cuddly.
Try us in VHF. We're even cuddlier.
And now, it's time for a break.
By the early 1970s, techniques of tape manipulation were being superseded.
I used to come home from school and used to go in the room and practice a lot. This particular day, I was playing the music a little bit too loud. And my mom came and, you know, banged on the door. And when she was banging on the door, I was, you know, still playing music. So when she opened the door, I cut the music down. So I was still holding the record, moving it back and forth, you know? And then I thought about it, I said, well, this really sounds like something, you know? Interjecting another record with another record. So as time went by, you know, I experimented with it and used different records and practiced it and it became scratch. Scratch.
The official adventures of
the Grandmaster Flash.
I'm here with my very special guest, Grandmaster Flash.
How you doing?
And what is it that you are first at?
I was first at taking a passage of music off vinyl, which unjustifiably was the shortest part of the record. We used to call it the get down part, but then it became known as the break. I would take duplicate copies of a record and take this break that was sometimes 8 to 10 seconds long and extend it seamlessly to the beat to 25 minutes if I wanted to, you know, or manipulating a break or like taking that particular passage and rearranging the arrangement, rubbing the record back and forth here, this, that, playing around with the vinyl, so to speak.
Certain DJs had come before you who were tremendous influences. Who were those DJs who influenced you the most?
Well, I'd say Kool Herc was one. This gentleman by the name of DJ Jones, who was big on the disco side of DJ, you know. He was a great blender. He would blend from one record carefully to the next. There were three people who sort of in control of the Bronx. It was, you know, Flash in the one area, Kool Herc in one area, Bambada in the other.
Kiss FM, it's the Saturday night Master Mix Jazz Party with Albert Caballero and Tony Moran, better known as the Latin Rascals.
Played it for her, he played it for me.
Now we come to the payoff.
Play it.
Check this out. Play for the hip hop.
Don't stop. Play it on the street.
Play it on the radio.
Sure, do you love the Supreme Team show?
Play it at the party.
Were there any radio DJs that you loved?
Red Alert, he was more like a mixer, but he had a radio show. You know, I call him the godfather of the mix.
Where did this material come from?
We would tape it all.
Sample.
And say, children.
So much stuff.
What does it all mean?
You're a needle in a haystack.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans.
Lesson 3.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.
I would say we probably got a couple hundred hours, and I would dare say that we probably got 1,000 yet to go.
You don't know enough about hip-hop music.
The flying saucers are real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown. Take it away, John.
Here's Johnny. What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Here is a bulletin. Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. In the motorcade route.
You're listening to Some Assembly Required. My name is John. If you're just tuning in, our featured artist this episode is Steinsky. I spoke with Steinsky about the art of appropriation.
I called up one or two people at CBS, and I sort of delineated the project for them. And they, out of hand, they just went, wow, you know, whee, good luck, buddy. You'll never get that kind of permission from us. And so I thought, ah, the hell with it, so I'll just do it.
And they just, they laughed at you, it sounds like.
Well, yeah. Well, I would too if I was them.
Well, yeah, but isn't it arguable that given the media's involvement in making that occurrence such a public one, that we should be allowed to use the media to express our own personal experiences of the event?
Nope.
You don't think so?
I don't buy it. Hell no, man. I mean, if I own the copyright to Walter Cronkite, that's mine. Period. Forget it.
Okay, so you respect copyright.
Well, I respect it in theory. I obviously don't respect it in fact.
How do you justify that, then?
I don't. This is what I do, man. God put me on earth to make these records. You know, so the rest is all commentary. I'm going to make the records. I don't even think about it too much, to tell you the truth.
In Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy.
It appears as though something has happened.
Died
in the motorcade route.
At 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
We seem to be lurching forward
time.
Randomly in time, like a needle
time.
Skipping on a record player.
Say, kids, what time is it?
Time.
Yeah, we got it. It's all on tape.
Time.
Listen. Play back.
Time.
I'm just playing this part.
The motorcade sped on.
Cold cuts on the mix.
Comfort Bear was looking for something to do. Or someone to play with. Or just something really exciting and dangerous to happen.
I want you to listen to something. I've cut out sections of tape, stuck them together.
Welcome to the Church of What Happened.
Oh, sure.
Now, here's some party stuff.
A journey into sound.
Hit it, Mike!
Honey, I got rhythms I haven't used yet.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
Damn.
Do it. How do they conduct shows in England?
Do it.
I mean, what kind of disc jockeys do you have over there?
Come
Big Apple
Productions.
Let's end pieces.
Overheated, the record broke.
Oh.
You go into these stores and you see all these 12 inches on the wall, and there's all these sort of bootleg party 12 inches that mix together all the big hits of the day. You actually pioneered that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, you can say that. It's probably a takeoff of what I did, you know, humanly, you know, going through just sort of a collage of records one behind another to the beat, you know.
Cutting should be used as and when the situation demands. Concentrating, you
you may miss Def Breakfast.
By the year 1990, we should see many amazing technological advances.
I'm very curious what you think about today's generation of turntablists. If you've been checking out any of the younger DJs.
Rock Raid is probably one of my favorites. I love this cat, Q-Bird.
Yep.
I like Executioner. I like Swag Pickles.
From the Bay Area, y'all. San Francisco. My man DJ Diz.
Q-Bird in the house.
Let's get ready to rumble, y'all. Who is the best? Reach up. What crew is number one? Reach up.
All your other DJs are on your jokes.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
All these cats, man, that came after me. Like, thank God somebody was paying attention to this thing I was creating. Because back then, it was no blueprint. It wasn't nothing. I was just, you know, in search of.
Been able to bring this milestone in scientific achievement directly to you live. As it happened.
Combinations of music. Do you think that Led Zeppelin and Frank Sinatra would go together?
Fly me to New York.
No.
Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong turntable.
Well, what do you think?
I like your energy.
What the fuck?
Well, that was my disco medley. A little hustle, a little bump.
Nice.
Quack, quack, quack.
They don't understand the fragmentation.
They could be still making a lot of records and a lot of money to the record companies in 1992. That's what we've been talking about. Who is going to be, who has the staying power? Who will be around 7 years from now?
Number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one.
Means it's a big, big business.
And yet another perfect cut.
That was exciting. Because it was so foreign to the adult. When I first played, I said, is this for real?
Yes! The rhythm, the rebel. Without a pause, I'm lowering my level. The hard drama, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling? You know it's time again. D, the enemy.
Don't hit me!
Bang!
Where did the name Tape Beatles come from?
Shoot! It is what is new and what is, as we say, on the cutting edge. Well, and a certain kind of high culture is popular in the root sense of that word.
In a decade that has seen considerable turmoil, the Tape Beatles have been able to endure and expand. Group commitment to innovation has enabled it to capitalize on opportunity. And at the helm, there's always been four charismatic leaders whose peers use words like genius to describe it.
Wow. Wow. Sound editing just gets easier and easier.
And now people like us.
Hello, and welcome to People Like Us. How much do most of us know about
people like us? That's what I had to get.
That's the letter U and the numeral 2.
With you, no one else, just you.
Here's the first top 40 hit for the Irish band from Dublin who call themselves U2.
I have run, I have crawled,
I have scaled these city walls. Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Why rock out now? The answer is clear.
You've got to change the music for the last 10 or 12 years.
That sounds quite interesting.
You like that, huh?
And not just a little bit.
I think everything's improved, the sound's improved.
Are we going to this next time?
Yes, we are.
I was a bit confused about it. I couldn't understand quite why it began where it did and finished where it did, and the sequence of events.
And now, if you will, accompany me on a journey to the future. Mr. Wells has kindly lent me his time machine.
Oh, I can hardly wait to start the machine. Oh, I do hope the people enjoy it.
Okay. Fasten your safety belt.
How many schools? It starts at one point.
1970. 80.
Time continues to skip forward randomly.
90.
And then...
2000.
You come back to where you started.
Wow. Travel so fast that here we are in 2000 already.
Some bootleggers, who are actually more librarians of lunacy, cram 100 intros from songs into 12 minutes, recognising that no one has the time to listen to everything unless it is processed into an abbreviated form of excitement that performs its nostalgia fast, so you don't have to leave the present for too long, which is never a particularly good idea. I quite like the Strokes as a comedy group, and I very much like the Strokes when their music is mixed up in a bootleg sense with the music of pole dancing pop fiasco Christina Aguilera. A stroke of genius, a blasting together of one Strokes thing hard to explain and one Aguilera song, Genie in a Bottle, conjures up the reality bending shock of the new that the Strokes lack. The stupid sublime stitching together of heated machined pop dripping with money and reheated New York punk scratched out of the fake history books creates a ravishing blur of signals, signatures, speeds, and gaps in time that please me in the places where I like to be pleased. A stroke of genius sounds like new sound, and at the end of the 20th century into the beginning of the 21st century, it was commercial pop that was sounding more exciting than commercial rock.
On my part, I do say so myself. And I'll be killing two birds with one stone. Two birds with one stone.
I don't care what they say. I'm not about to pay nobody's way. But it's all about the dog in me. Mm-hmm. I won't break it, you freak on. Break it, you freak on. Break it just like me. Break it, you freak on. Get rid of the back inside your body.
can't stop. Y'all can't stop.
Sorry to interrupt your song, but I'm pressed for time.
Is you with me now? Let's make it big and bounce. I know you think the way I'm supposed
to. Okay, ready.
What's happening?
I'm the X Factor.
Random sampling error.
I'm gonna pray that my lead holds. You'll be taking random samplings of river water.
Bob is the guy that thinks he's finding. Also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broken soul. No, I don't want your number, no. Don't want none of your time, and no. I don't want no scrub. The scrub is the guy that can't get none of from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride. Trying to holler at me.
We're looking for Roy.
Boy, I'ma make you love me, make you want me, and I'ma give you some attention tonight. Follow my intuitions, what's your wishes? See, I'ma keep you up all night for a long time. So start counting the way.
What are you listening to?
It was hot stuff at the time. Hell, even now I bet you could get at least $35 for it on eBay.
For free music, it's a minority, very small minority.
I'd burn that music fast.
John's not mad.
He's not crazy.
John's not mad.
He's not crazy.
John's not mad.
I don't think he's always psychotic.
John's not mad.
Say crazy or something? You're not.
I created a monster.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars. Be on the lookout for the sons of bitches who bootleg my record.
Do you have the brains to make up your own record?
Well, maybe with the money you made off the bootleg, you can go out and buy yourself a
Cuba!
I created a monster, cause nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady, I'm John Slimmer. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor, some vodka that'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shock when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor when I'm not cooperating, when I'm rocking the table while he's operating. Hey! You waited this long to stop debating, cause I'm back, I'm on the bragging, ovulating. I know that you got a job, Miss Cheney, but your husband's heart problem's complicating. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on so
give it just up, breathe and stop for real, and give it what you got. Just up, breathe and stop for real, and give it what you got. Give it what you got, give it what you got. Give it on the block, give it what you got. And give it what you got, give it what you got. Give it what you got, give it on the block.
You don't wanna speak my name, mess around, get that ass blown away. Fool gone away, I ain't never need to put on your shades. I know you feel me though, you're hating on me, but you hear me though. 20-inch rim sitting crazy low. I'm a crazy hoe. I'ma keep the party live. Me and Timberland gon' flip it tonight. Keep your hands in the sky. Wave them around like you're crazy high. Mr. DJ, won't you play that song?
Hey, Mr. DJ.
Mr. DJ, won't you play that song?
Somewhere, I get a message from Kylie.
comes to me at the exact moment I first hear Can't Get You Out of My Head blended with New Order's Blue Monday, which is a lot of the time my favourite piece of pop music, my favourite group. New Order emerged from the crashes of Joy Division, playing a music that was the missing link between Kraftwerk and everything electronically great that came afterwards. The lot of their lead singer by, in a way, replacing him with space and time. The time and space you find beautifully between electronic beats. As I hear Kylie virtually sing her happy song of loss, it's as if the new lead singer of Joy Division is Kylie Minogue, and for private reasons, there's something fabulous and irresistible about that. See and hear the ghost of Joy Division shimmer through the illusion of Kylie Minogue into entertainment immortality is a moment that makes me realise that pop music, or call it what you will, creates some of the most magical moments in life. And those moments can be so magical, all you want to do sometimes is write about them, hold them in place. Everything has to end. Even the 20th century.